Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Upsets there were in the weekend. There were no other upsets after Ohio State lost to Oral Roberts University, and that's it. All the favorites won, and all of our brackets are doing fine. Everything is good, normal. Nothing to report here. Oh, wait, I lie.
No timeouts for Texas. Abilene Christian with the lead. Texas has got to go the distance.
Down both of them.
Baseball court pass. Believe the unbelievable. Abilene Christian with the biggest win in school history.
Their first in NCAA history. Abilene Christian, number 14 seed, knocks off number 3 Texas. Oh, man, we get to the painful ones. I mean, look, if you're an Ohio State fan, I'm sorry, but I don't really have anything left for sympathy for you on this one, because Illinois game between two Illinois teams.
Well prepared, well versed. And I know this is crushing for the Illinois followers, but
we don't need your sympathy.
What a great job, Loyola.
Incredible.
Yeah. Who's crying?
Another fairy tale ride is underway for Loyola Chicago and head coach Porter Moser.
First number one seed out, my alma mater, Illinois, who I may have picked to win the entire tournament. I don't know. They look good in their first round. They won by 30. And then apparently they forgot what a basketball looks like. So Illinois out, the first number one seed out. So that's number two Ohio State is out by Oral Roberts. Then you had Illinois out by Loyola Chicago, number one beat by number 8 in the second round. And then, and I know this is the one that you were hoping I wouldn't play. I know. But the pain has to be equally spread around. After upsetting number two Ohio State, Oral Roberts, the nobody, the number 15, comes back and plays the Gators.
Main concern right now is keeping everything in front, not giving up a three. But most important, I know this coaching staff is telling them, when this shot goes up, everybody has to get a body on body and to get this defensive rebound.
Here's Mann. He's trying to hunt down that three. This is for the tie. It rings out. Florida chasing it down. Lewis for the tie. That's not there.
Nope. Sorry, Davis, but I think we all equally suffered this weekend. Your speechlessness is its own statement.
I was just sitting there yesterday, just either A, I'm like, okay, this really sucks,
right?
Or B, then again, everyone loves a good Cinderella story.
Nobody loves a Cinderella story where their own team is the victim. Nobody. Especially when it's, like for us, we're like, I mean, we're in the tournament sometimes, and we haven't had a deep run in a while, and just, and then after, of course, you guys barely got out of the first round. I mean,
yeah,
you
it was a close
you
one
barely
first
got
round.
Out of the first round, so you don't have a lot to complain about, except Oral Roberts at a 15 seed. Okay, fine. Whatever. Sure. Yeah, let's move on. I think my exact words when I was airsofting all day yesterday in Alabama and Mobile with my son. I get back at like 7 after the I don't know what happened on the accident. I hope it wasn't a fatality, but somebody caused an accident on the I-10 bridge all the way to the Spanish Fort side. Traffic was totally backed up. I found out just in time to not be able to make the off-ramp on 90. No. Hour and a half later, I get back home. And that same thing happened to us last Sunday, too. I've been in Mobile 2 times in the last 2 years, both times on a Sunday, both times stuck on the I-10 bridge for accidents. Well, they are going to make something new happen. They said they're going to have a meeting today in the afternoon where they're going to have a meeting about what the new plan is. The one thing they say, Mayor Stimson is one of the key people in this announcement today, is they say that the new plan for traffic on the I-10 bridge, or the new whatever you're going to call it, is going to preserve the current no-toll lanes. So that's good news. That's really good news. That was... Anyway, so after I was airsofting all day with my son, having a good time and, you know, coming home sore, tired, had a good time, 50, you know, airsofting with these kids. Anyway, I'll be honest, there's not a lot more satisfying in life than pew, pew, pew to some punky, mouthy 15-year-old. No. I'm not me, but, you know, somebody. Anyway, I get home and I put on the game because that was the first thing I knew. I didn't want to watch the news. I wanted to watch my line. I win convincingly in the second round. Okay, back to show prep. 5:16 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. My thanks to Jeremy Evans filling in for me 4 days last week, and Bobby Rossi filling in for me on Friday. It's good to be back. Davis, good to have you back. We got Mark out this week. It's that time of the year where somebody's always on vacation, but we'll get the whole team back to full strength, which is always a pleasure, actually, to have Coop on the air, because for those who do not know, Cooper used to be the news director and news anchor when I first started here. So, you know, it's like getting the old gang back together. All we need now is Paul.
And then just get rid of me.
Yeah. Wait, what did I say? 5:16 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Local news is our job, and we take it seriously.
Governor DeSantis might lower the age restriction on getting a COVID vaccine. Moments ago in Tallahassee.
I'm going to sign an executive order this morning, lowering the age to 50, effective Monday.
That action comes after the age was lowered to 60 just a few days ago.
Local news every 30 minutes from the newsroom that's open all day. News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
We'll see how it goes next week, but I think we will definitely be opening it up to everybody, certainly before May 1st, and maybe much sooner than that, so stay tuned there.
Yeah, so on that was actually last, when was that? That was Friday, I think that was, talking about what day they were going to open up the ages to. On Tuesday, he had said, well, we might drop it to 55. We might drop it to 55 eventually pretty soon. And then by about Thursday, he's like, oh, we're going to be dropping it pretty soon. And then by Friday, he made the big announcement.
We have some updates on the vaccine distribution. First, I'm going to sign an executive order this morning, lowering the age to 50, effective Monday.
Woo-hoo.
We think we've done pretty good this week with the 60 to 64, but quite frankly, we think that even on current vaccine allotments, that opening it up will be good.
Yeah, so today, like as of now, if you're 50 in Florida, you can get the vaccine. I have a an in-law who is 60, I got to do the math, it's like 68, I think, and he's been on a waiting list in Illinois for like 2 months, can't get the vaccine. And we're starting to vaccinate 50-year-olds. Now, they have actually a fairly high rate of everybody being vaccinated, pretty comparable to ours. But it's a difference of philosophy, right? They've been vaccinating all their K-12 and a lot of other folks, and we've been prioritizing seniors because the seniors are the most vulnerable. You got three vaccines you can get. In fact, there's one today. There's a walk-up clinic at Brownsville from 11 to 2. You don't need an appointment. And that's part of the push by the administration to vaccinate lower-income folks, you know, what people euphemistically call black and brown people. And, you know, that's been working. In fact, Jared Moskowitz on Friday, was it? I think it was Friday, was there in the press conference with DeSantis talking about how this is a program that's worked so well here in Florida, over 200 churches, that the White House called him and said, hey, what you doing? We want to do that. And they're doing all kinds of stuff to vaccinate black people, particularly because, you know, you've got a skepticism about vaccines. You've got poverty issues that keep people from having access to technology to do the booking of the appointments. You've got transportation issues. You have a sort of a collection, a collage of reasons why vaccinating, particularly Hispanic and black people, but especially black people in America, is a challenge. And in Florida, we're really doing that very well. So anyway, the clinic is open today. It's a Moderna first of two shots. You got to be able to come back for the second shot in a month. I got the City Hall's got their first in-person. Again, we're back to being in-person for the press conferences. So I'm 50. I'm eligible. I'm going to probably go over to Brownsville at least for a minute. And if the line's not bad, I'll probably get one today. Get my first half today. You jealous, Davis?
I'm very jealous.
I know you are.
I want my vaccine.
I know you do.
But I'll wait. I can wait. I'm good.
522 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. You got to be old like me. Dick Cooper Davis is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. How's the morning time treating you, Coop?
I need another cup of coffee.
That was such a withering groan.
But I'm happy to be here, let me tell you.
It's good to have you.
Yeah, you too, brother. Two prominent black leaders in Pensacola, get this, want the Department of Justice to investigate a local work support program, the criticism aimed at Career Source Escarosa here in town. According to the News Journal, there is concern about managerial practices there, specifically concerns about alleged bullying, intimidation, and alleged race and gender discrimination. This News Journal report says these two Pensacola area civil rights leaders, Ellison Bennett and Rodney Jones, sent a letter to the Department of Justice asking them to investigate. Well, it must be true because the mayor of Los Angeles says he's never been more hopeful that the pandemic is near the finish line. On CBS's Face the Nation, Eric Garcetti says the city's test positivity rate is now under 2%, and the vaccines are starting to have an effect on the spread of the virus. He added the data metrics have never been more positive for Los Angeles. Garcetti emphasized the need to reopen the economy, believes they can, with the lessons learned in the pandemic. And former President Trump...
You mean they can be Florida?
It's just... I was going to let you say it.
I know. Like, eventually, 9 months later, they can just do what Florida's doing.
Right.
All right, go on.
Former President Trump will be returning to social media by creating his own platform. Trump spokesperson Jason Miller told Fox News he will return to social media in 2 to 3 months. He added that the new platform will be, quote, his own and will attract, quote, tens of millions of new users and will completely redefine the game. That's also a quote. The former commander-in-chief has been permanently suspended from Twitter and other social platforms following his, as they'd say, what many would call his incitement of the U.S. Capitol riots on January 6th.
So this is kind of an interesting one because, you know, I don't know whether this will work, you know, but a lot of people have made the observation that Trump was the big draw on Twitter. And with Trump gone, Twitter's like,
What do we talk about now?
What do we do now? I don't know. He's not even in office, and so kind of gets old making fun of a guy who's not even there, criticizing a guy who's not even there. But I will say this. You said 2 to 3 months, right? That's a long pre-announcement. 2 to 3 months?
Yeah.
Question for you. I'm not going to make you answer this one, but what do we get first, Trump on a new social media platform or an actual Biden press conference?
An actual Biden press conference.
Well,
I
maybe.
Think there will be a need for one.
Isn't there one supposed to be like this week or next? Didn't they make like a 2 week out announcement? Hey, there's going to be a press conference coming in a couple weeks.
Well, they talked about how he's going to go out on the road and promote the stimulus.
You think that's safe for him?
Hey.
I mean, no stairs, obviously, right?
Gotta keep him moving, you know?
No stairs on the road trip.
Just got to make sure that he's safe. That's all you got to do.
I still can't. Did you see the video of Air Force One and him?
My buddy sent me a meme.
One, two, third time's a charm. Three times falling up the stairs.
He had a hard time with that staircase.
Oh, my goodness. And the White House says, us wind. I don't know that saying that your president is so frail that he can be pushed over by a wind gust three times, whether that solves the problem of he can't walk upstairs safely.
How do you compare that, though, to Gerald Ford slipping down the stairs?
Yeah, I don't stairs? I just
if you
know
were to
that,
compare the two.
Well, he was kind of jogging them up too. So it's, you know, kudos for him for trying.
Yeah, right.
I'm a stair runner myself. I always go up the stairs as fast as I can. So at some point this is going to come back to bite me, but I'm usually in flips when I fall. He was just in his normal whatever.
Yeah.
Also interesting note on that. When I see stuff like that, I'm always curious to see who covers it. It's not a big news story, but it's a curiosity. It's the kind of thing that you should report. Kudos to CBS for reporting it, ABC and NBC. It's like it didn't even happen. Although Jimmy Fallon did make fun of him for a moment, so I was, you know, whatever. 526, Coop, thanks so much for the update. 526 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. Entire social fabric of Miami Beach is unraveling. I'm sure Fox will have something about this and have been covering it. But man, for like a week, spring break at Miami Beach has been nuts. And I, you know, it's hard for me to tell as an outsider looking in, and especially I just don't have a great fondness for the accuracy of our national news media, which is tragic because, you know, the folks who have the platform don't do such a great job of being unbiased in their presentation of information on it. But at least I was watching NBC this morning and they did say, you know, it didn't seem to be entirely clear whether this was spring break or whether this was just people, you know, coming to the open society, so to speak, when they had a minute. I can't tell. Does it make a difference one way or the other? You know, whether it's packed out because it's college kids or whether it's packed out because it's hooligans coming from all over to party in the open South. I don't know. But Miami's like curfew time and SWAT team deployed against the people and breaking up the parties. I mean, they started the first weekend last weekend, like 70 or 90 arrests, and now they're up to like 900. No, 150. That's right. 150 the first weekend. And then it was 900 and they got curfews in place. And I mean, okay. All right. 529 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Oh, in case you kind of like don't have perspective on this, what's it like around the world? Like France and the UK and places all over the world are in lockdown again. Paris is in lockdown again. You're allowed to go out and walk as much as you want in Paris because it's important to get exercise within a 10 kilometer radius of your home with a proper authorizing permit that says that you're, you know, the paper that proves that you're eligible for a stroll. Just so you know how it's being done in other governments. Okay. We got Cooper Davis this morning. We got coming up, Coop.
Had a shootout reported between a man and some bikers. We'll tell you more.
News. I'm Chris Foster. President Biden says he's aware of what's going on at border facilities where unaccompanied minors are being held after crossing, and that he will check out the situation at the border for himself.
At some point, I will, yes.
Attempts at border crossings have surged, and those holding facilities for kids are beyond capacity. Former President Trump in a statement is critical of how his replacement is handling immigration.
The former president's statement says all the Biden administration had to do was keep the smooth-running system on autopilot, but instead they turned a national triumph into a national disaster. His solution? The Biden administration should admit total failure and adopt proven Trump policies.
Fox's Ann Carrick. New York House Republican Tom Reed apologizes and says he will not run for re-election next year or run for any other office. He's accused by a former lobbyist of rubbing her back and unhooking her bra at a bar in 2017. Congressman Reed says he entered treatment for alcohol abuse that year. America's listening to Fox News.
You know more because you get your news on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio. Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and good to be back from vacation. Good to have a vacation. Good to be back from vacation. Both are true. How can they both be true? They just are. They just are. It's good when you like your work, and I like it okay. I seem to enjoy it, do okay at it. So one of the big news notes last week while I was gone was, and this is, you have to characterize this accurately, which unfortunately, a lot of your national news outlets did not characterize this accurately because they have a bias on the topic, and that's, you know, understandable, I don't know, forgivable. I don't know. At a certain point, you give up expecting better. But the Vatican came out with an answer to a question. And the question was, does the Catholic Church have the power to give the blessing of unions of persons of the same, two persons, sorry, let me read it again because I botched all my prepositions. Does the Church have the power to give the blessing to unions of persons of the same sex? And the response was negative. And then there was a note, about a two-page note. And it's an interesting thing to watch when the Vatican does something entirely uncontroversial, 100% uncontroversial from the perspective of historic Catholicism. And the news media act like they made this breaking announcement and characterize it falsely and in a way that's designed to incite people to have a reaction to it. When all the Vatican did was say, yeah, no, not ever. Is this hard for you to understand? But what's interesting is if you read the actual document, and I did because that's what a good journalist does. If you read the actual document and then you read the also explanation of it, and then you read the reporting on the document and the explanation based from like the National Catholic Register, which is you should only, if you ever see a story about Catholics in the mainstream press, your first impulse should always be to go look at the National Catholic Register, ncregister.com. Just because you got to assume that regular press gets it wrong. They don't have religion editors anymore. They barely have religion beat reporters at all. And if they do, they probably aren't religious. So they don't speak the language and they don't understand things from the inside. And look, I'm not a Catholic. Okay. I mean, I think I understand Catholicism pretty well. I taught at a Jesuit university for a while. But I'm not a Catholic. I'm not a native speaker of Catholicism. You know, I was a Protestant raised and then an atheist and now an evangelical, which is a kind of Protestant. But yeah, I've never been a Catholic. I have lots of friends who are Catholic. Anyway, the point is, all they really said was, look, marriage is for a man and woman. If the sacrament of marriage is for a man and woman, because that is God's ordained pattern for sexual union, because sex is about sex and sex is about babies and babies are about men and women. I mean, they didn't go into all this, but that's the backdrop to the Catholic position here is you can't image God in the be fruitful and multiply sense without a man and a woman. And it is a man and a woman union that God blesses in marriage. We cannot then turn around and do sacrament light. And now that's not a fair way to describe it, but sacramentals are sacrament light. They are, you know, sort of images of echoes of sacraments, which is what a blessing would be. You can't bless a thing that's not in line with the underlying source of God's blessing, which is in the sacrament of marriage. So the answer is no. But, and they made a lot of notes about comma but in the document. There's a place for gay people in the church and gay people as individuals. We affirm them. We cannot affirm their, you know, sexual behavior, but we affirm them. And there's a lot of that in the document. Of course, none of that gets reported. And it's reported as won't. And if what's interesting is this isn't a won't from the Catholic point of view. This is a can't. See, the church doesn't get to decide what it does. Non-religious people, even some religious people, don't get this. The church, the Catholic Church, doesn't decide what to do with sacraments. They announce what they believe God has decided they should do with the sacraments. And so it's not like these mean, nasty Catholics just don't want to get on board with the woke agenda. They believe that God created marriage. And God hasn't changed his mind. And so they have to obey what God says, like on every issue. See, irreligious and mildly religious people, and even some devout but misguided people, think that the idea of religion is for, you know, us to kind of make the way. Generally, conservatives, what it means to be a conservative about religion, it's a little different than in politics, but there's some similarities. You'll see the overlap. In religion, conservatives basically believe that God's God and not us. And so he makes rules and he decides things and he announces them and we follow his rules. And if the rules don't make sense to us, well, you know, we're not God. That's a very trite kind of summary of the conservative religious position. But so if it bothers you, offends you, if it doesn't make sense, if you don't like it, well, there's a lot of things like that. And they made a point of saying that it's all relations outside of marriage that they couldn't. You know, they can't do a blessing of an adulterous relationship. They can't do a blessing of a cohabitation. They can't do, I mean, it's so consistent. And by the way, Chris, I've said this every time I talk about this topic. Conservatives are often wrong in overemphasizing as being uniquely contrary to biblical teaching, the gay relationship, without also mentioning, hey, you know what, adultery, premarital sex, all of this stuff is not in line, right? And there's sometimes this attitude as though this one kind of relationship is uniquely not appropriate, as opposed to all of these things that are different from marriage and contrary to it and offensive to it. That's kind of the idea. So anyway, they made an announcement of what, you know, God has never said otherwise, and there's nothing surprising in here. If you know Catholicism, you read this, you're like, yeah, okay, there we go. But it gets taught, you know, in the media as though big announcement, the Catholic Church won't do, you know, what we want them to do. Well, yeah, on all kinds of things. There's all kinds of things where religion says you can't do what you want to do. You can't do what makes sense to you. You can't do what you can't even understand it. Okay, fine. So what? You know, you're not God. That's the idea. 5:45 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
One of the things that's come up is the idea of these vaccine passports. And I just want to make very clear, in Florida, we are not doing any vaccine passports. All those experts said that it was a bad idea. I think it's a bad idea. And so that will not happen. And so folks should get vaccinated if they want to. We'll obviously provide that. But under no circumstances will the state be asking you to show proof of vaccination. And I don't think private companies should be doing that either. And so we're going to look into see what we need to do to be able to make sure we're protecting Floridians.
Good. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I think that vaccine is good. Mandatory vaccine is bad. Wearing a mask is good. Mandatory wearing mask is bad. You know, it's so simple. You don't have to come in and be forcing. Plus, when it comes to vaccination, it's not even an official authorization from the FDA. It's an emergency use authorization. So trying to mandate or put requirements, even for private businesses. I mean, I like his attitude. Governor DeSantis says we're not going to do vaccine passports. He hinted at this. I don't think he really came out and said it, but he definitely hinted at looking to prevent people from having vaccination requirements for work, for example. You know, there's a lot of people do not want vaccinations. A lot of nurses aren't getting them. I'm all for it, but a lot of nurses aren't getting them. A lot of firefighters, a lot of police, a lot of corrections folks. The number of corrections folks who are getting it are lower than the number who don't want it. Are you going to start forcing people to do a thing that they don't want to do that is, again, only an emergency use authorization at this point? Not a good plan. And then you start saying, well, you got to have a vaccine in order to show up here. Oh, by the way, there was a note about don't put photos of your vaccine card on social media. Hello, identity theft. Come on, people. Think it through. Put your thumb over the, do something. 551 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs is out this week. Cooper Davis is sitting in from the newsroom this morning. Coop?
Andrew, the prosecutor initially in charge of the investigation into the U.S. Capitol attack believes some people could face sedition charges. Michael Sherman told 60 Minutes that evidence has been trending towards bringing charges of conspiracy to overthrow the government in some of these cases. An Illinois senator says bringing back the talking filibuster could allow more bills to see Senate votes. On CNN State of the Union, Democrat Dick Durbin said senators should have to show their commitment to an issue by standing at their desk when filibustering a bill, not, quote, phoning it in.
Well, Dick Durbin just wants more TV time for the Mr. Smith Goes to Washington moments. That's all sure. He wants, you know. Yeah, okay. So Dick Durbin, who has, when in the minority, been all in favor of the filibuster and the 60-vote rule and basically the gentleman's agreement in the Senate that, you know, if anybody wants to object, or especially if, you know, if 40 people want to, or 41 people want to object, that could stop it. Well, you know, shoes on the other foot, and so now the story is a little bit different. Go ahead, Coop.
Indeed. Last but not least here, Vice President Kamala Harris will be in Florida today to tout the recently passed coronavirus relief bill. The stop in Jacksonville, part of the President and VP's Help Is Here tour. She's set to visit a vaccination center, take part in a listening session with groups distributing food in the area. Money from heaven, Andrew. Money from heaven.
It's manna.
Here it comes,
government
man.
Manna. What is it called? The Help Is Here tour?
The Help Is Here tour.
Oh, good Lord. And she, so, you know, They're liberals and conservatives just speak different languages, you know, a lot of times, and sort of the ways we talk about things. And
the handout is here.
I'm on a listening tour. My conservative skin just crawls. Yeah. it's not that I'm against the concept of listening to people. It's just that idea of I'm on a listening tour. Give me the talking stick. Oh, who's got the tambourine? I don't know. That's kind of the feel of the thing. Oh my God!
I'll just sit around and have a conversation anymore.
I wonder what sort of speech dialect she'll opt for in this particular performance, because that's often, it was the same thing with Hillary. So anyway, all right, Mark. See, I'm in such a habit of having Mark.
That's $1.
$1. Dude.
Sorry.
Okay. Cooper, thanks so much for the update. 553 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. What else? Oh, CDC comes out with an announcement on Friday that, look, they're doing their best to try to come up with rules that make sense, and they're doing their best to try to, you know, be science first, which is kind of what the CDC is supposed to do. But here in Florida, I know, it often feels like, and it is like, really? So here was the announcement, the big announcement that came out on Friday, that the CDC says that in some situations in schools, the kids don't have to be 6 feet apart. They can be 3 feet apart in some situations in schools. Now, the key here is particularly for elementary age. In elementary schools, all students can be at least 3 feet apart instead of six. Okay. In classrooms where mask use is universal, which is supposed to be all schools, regardless of whether there's high transmission in the community. By the way, I think everywhere in the United States right now is still qualifies as high transmission rate, even though we are actually in Florida in particular. What's our per? I haven't been doing this for a week, so I got to look back at my numbers. I mean, I do it every day, but I don't pay a lot of attention. Yeah, under 300. We're at 296 per 100,000. CDC says 100 is the red zone. So we're three times their danger zone. It's a little bit better here locally. In fact, in Escambia, oh, wow, that's really dropped. I just hadn't looked at this today. It's 121. We're almost down to the yellow zone in Escambia County. And in Santa Rosa County, it's at 164. So, wow, that's way better than the state. I had not realized it had gotten that much better here locally. Like I said, they're my numbers. I don't know why I didn't notice. But anyway, so at 100 is when you start to be in the yellow zone. So that's high community transmission rate. But in any case, what they're saying is as long as the kids are wearing masks, they can stay 3 feet apart. Middle and high school, 3 feet is fine as long as community transmission is low, moderate, or substantial, and there's universal masking. In middle and high school students, where there's high community transmission, 6 feet apart. especially if cohorting, that's where you can control the groups that they're in contact with, where cohorting is not possible. So what does this mean? First of all, like a lot of the CDC things, they don't do a great job of explaining the rationale here. Can I tell you what mine is? I think there's two parts here. Part number one is that kids are not much of a risk to transmit it at the younger ages, and they're also not very vulnerable to it, obviously, at the young ages. Middle and high school is a little bit different. High school especially, you know, the teens are actually transmissible and also capable of getting it, but they're not at much risk of having any severe consequences. I honestly, can I tell you, that's a part of it. I actually, you're going to laugh. Davis, why would they tell elementary kids that they don't have to be 6 feet apart?
Because they're not going to be 6 feet apart anyways?
Well, maybe. But, like, think of an actual physical reason.
Recess? Or...
You're going to laugh when you think of it.
Okay.
How tall is a high schooler?
Usually, like, five...
Regular height?
You know, like, six feet, you know, somewhere in there.
How tall is a kid in the third grade?
Like, 4 feet something. Yeah.
What's the theory of 3 feet or 6 feet based on?
Their height?
How quickly the droplets from your mouth fall to the ground?
Oh, okay.
If you start... they haven't said this, but I'm just trying to make sense of things that they don't explain. I think it's partially the low level of transmissibility and risk for the kids. I think it's they start closer to the ground. And when you're close, and they've got studies they say have shown that it works, you know, just fine to have the 3 feet distance instead of the 6 feet distance. Honestly, I think it's because they start closer to the ground. The adults still have to do the 6 feet. So that's my theory. 557 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. 559 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Hey, coming up next hour, we're going to talk to Alex Andrade. We're also going to share the information I saw when I was at the gun buy program for the city of Pensacola over the weekend. At 7:35, we've got Matt Gaetz is going to be on. And then at 8:10, we've got Shane Tucker from Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. And throughout the day, we have a lot of stuff to get to. So stick around. We'll be back in just a minute.